What is up, KOP Nation? It is Thursday evening. It's March 6th, 2025. We're just 72 plus hours away from AEW Revolution, AEW's first pay-per-view event of 2025. So you know what that means. It's the first KOP AEW pay-per-view prediction show of 2025. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host. Paul Zartman's in the house. And our reigning, defending in air quotes, KOP predictions champion, Austin Shepherd, is not with us.
No. He's apparently on sabbatical or something. I don't know. He says he's worked too hard to defend the title that he needed time off. And I'm like, okay, Roman.
But rumor has it. Rumor and innuendo has it. We might be getting the picks during our recording.
Okay.
But
we'll see.
Don't fear. If not, the graphics with everybody's picks, mine, Paul's, Shep's, will be posted before Revolution takes place this weekend. So fear not, everybody. But it is amazing, Paul. I think we've had one podcast in 2025 with all three of us on it.
Yeah. Yeah, just one so far. It'll change, though.
It's life, man. It's hit all of us in different directions and angles. But
I've been on assignment other places, you know, making sure that I'm a better podcaster and studying sports, so that I'm more knowledgeable on things. So I'm back with more knowledge now. So
you're back and better than ever. Isn't that what Eric Bischoff's theme song used to say?
I'm just back. I'm not better than ever. I'm not Eric Bischoff now. We're not doing that. That's rude.
Thank God you're not Eric Bischoff. I wouldn't have you on this podcast if you're Eric Bischoff.
And speaking of not being Eric Bischoff, several months ago, you and I made a bet, and I lost that bet.
That was at the start of the NFL season, I believe.
Yes, and I lost that bet, so without further ado, I will take off my Anaheim Ducks hat and I will stick to my word. Don't mind the messy hair.
Oh, there's a nice orange color. Nice Broncos logo on it.
Ugh. It hurts my head. It's burning.
Yep. And for everybody out there who might just be tuning in for the first time, our bet, I'm a Denver Broncos fan. Paul's a Cleveland Browns fan, and our bet was whoever's team had the better record, the loser of the bet was going to wear something of the other person's favorite team. So Paul is now following through on his bet.
I couldn't find a jersey that I liked in my size, so we went with that.
They're too expensive. You went the right. You went the right route.
$80 for a jersey. It's like, it's good lord.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's like everything.
I remember when the Browns first came back, okay, I lived in North Manchester, and there was a little shop in town called Alco, and they had Browns jerseys, but they were blank, so you could put your own number on it, write whatever name on it. It was cool. Or they had team member names, and they were like $10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
not anymore.
The Browns memorabilia and merchandise should still only be about $10, but you know, inflation, it's $16 now for that.
Yep. Well, unfortunately, AEW pay-per-views are not $10 either. They're $49.99. But big news breaking yesterday, there is another place you can now get the AEW pay-per-views. That's through Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I was watching throughout last night's episode, and what after they announced it, I didn't see the Max logo on a place to buy the pay-per-view. So I'm wondering,
It is not yet. Tony Khan addressed it today during the media call, said it will be coming in 2025, but he doesn't know when.
Okay. Which is where the Prime thing came from, probably then.
in the max will be, there will be a price break for max members, but no price break for prime members, which sucks because already paying $14.99 or whatever it is a month for prime. Now you got to pay the additional. I understand why AEW does this though. This is their second highest way to earn money is through pay-per-views. So I get it. And looking back on it, Peacock's stupid because they are not making money off the PLE system at all. I think Peacock lost $1 billion last year total
as a streaming service. And you know, one of the things now that I guess kind of helps them with that aspect is this match is coming up after this preview, or if you're a Peacock Premium Plus Maximum Infinite subscriber, we'll tell you what led to this match. So it gets people to want to buy so they can find out. Otherwise, you get a commercial break.
I think the WWE PLEs are going to be going to Netflix as soon as the Peacock deal's up.
Well, that's how it sounds. That's how it sounds. And I was looking through different things because, you know, with Max, you can get the Disney Hulu Max bundle, and I happen to have that. And you can't watch any WWE programming without a live subscription to Hulu anymore.
Yeah.
Or a Hulu Live subscription or whatever it's called. Which is ridiculous. I'm like, you know, I remember you used to at least be able to watch a shortened version of it in the past, and now you can't even do that because I was trying to, I'm not going to pay for TV for one night a week because that's really all I would be doing was watching SmackDown. So I was trying to find a way to catch up on SmackDown because I know with Cody being on SmackDown, this whole John Cena thing is going to be mostly on SmackDown. So I'm interested. I've always been a fan of heel Cena. I've said that in the past, but yeah, they got you there. You can't watch reruns anymore.
And I think the USA deals through 2029. So with SmackDown. Yeah. So, but really looking forward to AEW Revolution coming up Sunday, March 9th from crypto.com arena. It's always going to be Staples Center to me where the Los Angeles Lakers play.
Yeah. They said crypto and I went, wait, what? No.
Yeah, it's Staples Center. But you know how naming rights of stadiums, arenas, and fields go. It changes all the time. But before we get into our picks, any return or debut predictions for you? This won't go against or for your picks. I'm just curious.
I was watching, since I wasn't able to be a part of the podcast last Sunday, I was watching some of the shorts, and you guys were talking the Bucks, Speedball. I mean, those are all good debuts.
Ship throughout Josh Alexander.
Josh Alexander, yeah. You know, I'm not sure. There's not really anybody who comes to mind that I immediately go, oh, I want them to return. Yeah. I know there's a lot of rumors right now circulating around about Miss DMD and her status within the company, so I'm guessing she's at home writing out the rest of her contract on her couch,
unfortunately. Which I think she's got a long time left, I believe. So
yeah. I got a feeling that if she can find a way out of it, she'll be going somewhere else. But
definitely could. And the Bucks, I think it makes sense for them to return as far as they live in California. But I was thinking today, I don't know where you fit them in.
No.
So no. With the stories right now. Maybe none Kenny. Of these. Maybe Kenny. Maybe after Kenny's match. Maybe.
Yeah, but then you got to put Kenny's match on last as the main event. Otherwise, it's going to take away from whatever's after it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've seen that before.
True.
I think the main event will be Cope against Moxley, even though I think you could make a strong case for a few other matches.
I know they probably wouldn't do anything with him, but Scorpio Sky at some point. Again, the California connection. Maybe he comes out with Hangman because of what MJF did to Christopher Daniels and that SCU connection. But other than that, man, I really don't have, there's not anybody that I go, ooh, I'd like to see them come over, or ooh, you know.
I'd love to see Wardlow back. I'd love to see Wardlow back.
Yeah, but again, where does he fit into anything on the card?
Yeah, or Eddie Kingston, but I don't know if Eddie's ready yet. So
I don't think so, and that leads to one of my predictions that we'll get to later.
All right. Well, let's get into the card. Of course, we're predicting 9 matches. We're not doing the pre-show match because, let's be honest, Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, and Big Boom AJ are not losing that match.
You know, it's absolutely crazy how I had never heard of these guys until the pay-per-view they showed up at for AEW. And now, like, I was watching a video on Facebook yesterday, and it was taken from somebody's live on Twitch or something. And the lady's talking about 9/11, and she goes, oh, your father died. My apologies. He deserves 5 big booms. And of course she grabs a pot of water off, dumps it on the floor by mistake, and slips and falls on it. So there's only 1 big boom, but you know, and an up and coming artist that a lot of people are listening to, Baby No Money, was doing something, and he ate a sandwich or something. They do little shorts like that, and he said, it deserves 5 big booms. And I'm like,
they're everywhere,
this is,
man.
Everywhere.
They are.
Where
everywhere.
Did these guys come from?
They're everywhere. Costco guys. So
yeah.
And I know Shep's like, this is the stupidest thing ever, but I'm like, we've seen worse talent in AEW in the ring than Big Boom AJ. I'm not saying he's the best. We've seen worse.
So we've seen more stupider gimmick, or more stupider. Wow, that made me sound real smart. It's the Denver hat, I'm telling you. We've seen dumber gimmicks in AEW. Yeah. I mean, let's not forget, sitting down in Indy, when the Outrunners first walked onto the ring, Shep was like, these guys are stupid.
Yeah,
now he loves them.
Yep. So
Danhausen.
Yeah, he's a money making machine, but they just don't use him. I think he'll be let out of his. I think his contract actually expires in the next couple months, so I don't think he'll be around with the company too much longer.
I hope he stays on the indies and doesn't go other places, because they're going to tell him to wipe the makeup off and make him something completely different.
Yeah, TNA might be able to use him, but WWE NXT, I don't see that happening. So,
and
except
the fear,
he's his buddies with Punk, and Punk has a lot of pull. So,
yeah, and the fear I have, or I would have, as any professional wrestler trying to get signed, is if I sign with TNA right now, am I going to be shipped to WWE? Is WWE going to have an influence on what happens to me while I'm at TNA?
Yeah.
I'd be terrified of that.
Very true. Well, Paul, I will let you start with whatever match you want to predict first.
All right. This one was the hardest to pick for me. So let's go Ospreay Fletcher.
So a cage match.
Yes.
Which Will Ospreay said today in an interview with Chris Van Vliet, this is only his second cage match ever. The other one was in Europe in 2019. So he's excited for his first American real steel cage match.
And the one thing that I always get excited about these steel cage matches for AEW, one, we don't see them regularly. Two, these things are ginormous.
Yes.
I remember that Cody Wardlow steel cage the first time we saw it, and it was like twice as big as what we're used to seeing.
Right.
I think I told Logan, I said, take a 90s Hell in a Cell cage and bring it up to the top where the mat is on the ring, where you would normally set your steel cage, and it's about that tall.
Well, I'm hoping like AEW cages become a cage that it's hard to interfere in. That's what I'm banking on in my prediction. So,
me too. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I've got 5 on this. 5
All right.
points.
Got 5 on Mr. Ospreay. We are agreeing with the winner. I got 3 though on Ospreay. I had more. I actually had 5 at one point. Pulled back to 3. I would be surprised if Fletcher goes over again.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I don't think there'll be interference, the reason I went with 3 is if there is some sort of interference by Don Callis, that could influence that. So
yeah, I mean, he is out there, but I'm hoping that he can't get involved or goes to slide something in and Will catches it and, you know, puts his foot on Kyle's hand and slides it back out of the ring.
I do think, though, either this match or Omega Takeshita will be the best match of the night.
Oh, by far. Yeah. I mean, I looked at the card and I went, all right, I know which two matches are going to be matches of the night.
Yeah. Well, Kenny and Will could make a good match happen with a broomstick. So,
yeah.
Let's be honest. Yeah. They're that good.
They could go out there and sweep the ring and make it a match of the night.
Yeah. It's going to be fun, though. Looking forward to it. I think Kyle Fletcher's a future superstar as well. Mm-hmm. So, guy looks like $1 million right now.
Oh, yeah. Could do without the crown, though.
Yeah. Yeah. He's easy to hate. I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, the late edition. This was announced yesterday for the Continental Championship. Kazuchika Okada defending against the Hounds of Hell's Brody King.
Mm-hmm.
And I will go first on this one. I have Okada for 4 confident points.
Well, I'm agreeing with you for Okada, but I only went 1 on this. Okay. Because not with this, and here's the problem. There's 2 matches I'm not really confident in, but this one I could see swinging completely different than this just because they want to say, oh, look, the Hounds of Hell are now doing better things than they were when they were the House of Black.
Right.
But overall, I think Okada is going to hold this belt until Kingston can come back and Kingston's going to take it off of him.
I will later on during this prediction show, I will tell you where I think the direction they're going with Okada and the belt, but I don't want to spoil it just yet. But I think there's a bigger picture. I'd be cool with them putting on Brody King. I like Brody King. I like Buddy Matthews. I like the push these guys are getting, but this was literally like a 1 week build. And I don't idle switches on a 1 week build.
No, I didn't even know it was happening until I watched Dynamite last night. And they said, oh, these two will face off for, and I'm like, oh, okay.
It was basically set up on Collision. Brody barked at Okada pretty much in a backstage segment. That was what started it.
Yeah. Ooh, there you go. Yep. Oh, we got beef now.
but I still am just appalled that it could get added, I guess, Saturday night. I don't think it will. The TNT title's not going to be defended. They are just making that title go to wayside. Daniel Garcia's run with the championship has been flat as flat can be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the only, apart from the trios, only title not being defended.
Well, he's been defending it on Collision, which I'm cool with because it is TNT title on TNT. But you need to have it on a pay-per-view.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially of this caliber, Revolution, every title should be on the line. Just like it should be at Mania type thing.
I think we can make an argument that Revolution's their 2nd, maybe 3rd biggest pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
I think they've made All In their biggest now, even though it's newer for them.
Right.
And then I think you can debate Double or Nothing or Revolution, I think.
Yeah, but, you know, like we've talked numerous times on this podcast, Revolution is the pay-per-view. It's the one I know you and I both look forward to every single year.
It delivers every freaking year. And,
oh, yeah.
And Shep brought up a good point. Shep thinks it's got something to do with the timing around Mania season. The AEW's like, okay, we're going to step up our game around Mania season.
It makes sense. Mm-hmm. I'd do it more in April if that was the case, but that's just me.
It's odd that the lone month going forward the rest of the year that's not going to have a pay-per-view is June.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Yeah. But here again we are. Mania normally happens the first, 5-6 days of April normally.
Yeah.
So delivering in March makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Because AEW will have this pay-per-view and Dynasty before Mania even happens this year.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, I know. They watching Raw and they're like, we're 76 days away from our next pay-per-view. And I'm like, oh, yeah, there's no more Fastlane or Roadblock or whatever.
Nope.
Bring back Cyber Sunday.
Oh God, Taboo Tuesday. Even before that, what match you want to do next?
Well, I pulled these offline, so let's just go right in order. Like I've got a feeling you did as well. MJF and Hangman Adam Page.
Yeah, this one's intriguing. Two huge names in the company. One name the crowd loves to cheer for and had Hangman Adam Page. One they love to boo, MJF. They've had good promos. They've had good good physicality, break apart brawls lately. I'm really looking forward to this, and this was my toughest match to predict on the card.
It was me as well, because MJF and I have a history when it comes to predictions. And Hanger and I do too. I've picked Hanger a few times, and he's gone out there and just dropped the ball and didn't even deliver a 2-star match. So
I honestly, Paul, could see this somehow being a no contest or a throwout. I don't think they will, but if any match is on the card, I could see it being this one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't follow go home math though. I went MJF on this one for three.
For three? Man, we are agreeing yet again, but I went MJF for one.
Okay. I could see, I mean, if Hanger wins this thing, MJF's just going to walk away. If MJF wins this, Hanger's going to get pissed, and he's going to want another match, another chance to show that he can do this, and that's how you get this feud to go even longer.
I think MJF wins. He kind of needs it.
Mm-hmm.
Both guys are huge stars in the company, but they both have taken some L's lately. He kind of needs it. Then I could see him running the back in a month at Dynasty and having a stipulation, like a Texas Death or something, the Hangman gets over. This, it wouldn't shock me if we have one, if not two more matches. Something. Yeah, something crazy. So, wouldn't shock me at all.
No, and the reason I didn't do go-home math for this one is because I wouldn't say that MJF did come out on top because he got carried away. I mean, normally when you look at go home math, it's somebody who's dominant, who's standing over that person.
Right.
Camera zooms in on them, cuts away with it being focused on them. MJF got carried out by like 20 guys.
Yeah. Yep.
So I couldn't do go home math for that one.
I didn't care for the, you know, they did the lighter fluid. And then when they came back from break, they're like, we're not going to show you what just happened. I'm thinking you guys have shown people get caught on fire, go through this and that. And you're not going to show this getting sprayed by lighter fluid.
And what? One thing, and of course it was Rick Knox, and I don't know who the other ref was. I didn't catch it, but just down there going like, it's the worst smelling thing under the sun.
Yeah.
But you stood
I think it was Paul Turner. I think so. Yeah,
but I definitely saw Knox because, you know, you can't miss him.
No, you can't.
But yet they stood right next to Jack Perry as he got lit on fire and didn't react other than, you know, lighter fluid makes us sick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, where do you draw the line? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Up next, number one contenders match for the world championship, Swerve Strickland versus Ricochet. Ricochet got the pinfall the first time these two guys met. Really enjoyed the contract signing last night. And then I like how Ricochet still showed up and fought in the main event, even though I wish he would have had a bandage on his head.
Yeah, that didn't do it for me. I went Swerve on this one for a couple different reasons. And I went for six. I'm very confident in Swerve on this one. I feel that Swerve is going to get the win back. I mean, we talked about that when Ricochet went over him, that Swerve will get this back, no problem, and it'll set up for another match if need be, if we want one down the road. But there's a lot more on the line than just the number one contendership. He's trying to get that robe back. Nana told him, you know, if you can't do this for me, I can't keep doing this. So we're seeing the reignition of Swerve Strickland's darker side. And I think we'll definitely see that him pick up this victory on Sunday because of that.
I also got Swerve for 6 confident points. I'm right there with you. I already thought he was going to win, and then they made that number one contenders stipulation. I'm like, yeah, he going for the title makes a lot more sense than Ricochet right now. And yep. I think based on who wins this match, it's going to tell a lot about who's going to win the world title match, even though there's another avenue or two they could go down and Swerve everybody. No pun intended. But yeah. I think we could see Swerve win this match, face whoever's going to win the world title match at Dynasty, and Ricochet screw him over at Dynasty. That's how we get the rubber match at yep. like Double or Nothing in May.
Yeah. Or in July, you know, skip June. Give us a two-month build for that third.
Yeah. So, yep. I wouldn't be surprised if Samantha Irvin shows up in the company and gets involved in this storyline.
Yeah, it was interesting when Swerve brought in mentioned his ring announcer wife. The crowd knew who it was. It was perfect. Okay. You know, I like when we can do things like that where it's not directly calling out somebody or, you know, using the other company, but yet you know who's being referred to.
Yep, they know their audience. Yep.
Although, I will say I do miss Samantha after watching Elimination Chamber and trying to figure out what that ring announcer was doing with her hair.
She's not bad, but she's not as good as Samantha Irvin. Samantha Irvin's pretty darn talented.
Well, yeah, you got Justin Roberts and Samantha Irvin. That's all you need.
And you know Tony Chimmel works backstage at AEW.
Yeah.
I still want to see him do the Rated R Superstar one more time.
Yep. The Rated R. Yeah.
Superstar. And now especially says that's what he goes by now. So.
Yep. Get that whole squeak in there that was just supposed to be funny.
Yep. All right, next up, the TBS Championships on the line as Miss Four Belts Mercedes Moné defends it against Momo Watanabe? I don't know. Momo, yeah. I got to be honest, I had never heard of her till this match came about.
No, neither had I. But
she makes her collision debut this weekend.
Yes.
Against Serena Deeb.
And I will say, I was more excited to see Billy Starks in the backstage segment with Momo than I was Momo, because the only other time we've seen her is when Mercedes got up in her face after her last title defense, and now all of a sudden there's a match. With that being said, I got Mercedes for 2.
Only 2?
What? I can't put more on it.
It's 3 points, Paul. It's 3 points here.
I'm trying, man. I'm really trying. I actually picked Mercedes, okay? I almost went Momo for 1 but I told you no more wild predictions this year. So I went Mercedes.
At least you went with a safe pick. I went Mercedes for 8. I just think there's no way. With the Billy Stark stuff going on, mm-hmm. I really think we're finally gutted down the road. Hopefully at All In, got to get Mercedes and Athena. And that's where the title change takes place.
Yep, because that's how you do it. You get Billy, who's Athena's right-hand man, or woman, excuse me. You have these two in a match at Dynasty, and Mercedes just dominates Billy, beats the crap out of her. Athena runs down for the rescue after the match because Mercedes isn't stopping, and that sets up Dynasty.
Well, and I know, you know, you got Dynasty, you got Double or Nothing, then All In, but All In makes sense. That's where a lot of big moments are going to happen. Athena's from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
She also has the ROH title. You can put that belt on the line, make it, because if Mercedes wants to be the ultimate belt collector, try to add another belt to her collection. And if Mercedes loses it all, like Shep and I said, then I know you hate to hear it, Paul, then you could bump her up going for the world title.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. That's one reason I'm okay with Mercedes being TBS champion, because I don't want to say AEW Women's Champion Mercedes Moné. That will hurt me to say.
And I think Athena's the right person to take it off her, because you're going to have somebody who's been built up.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's not Athena, maybe it's Megan Bang, because she looks like the real deal, man.
Yeah, yeah. Couple spots that were a little off for me in Dynamite last night, but those came more from Penelope, surprisingly, than they did from her.
At least they got their work in with Thunder and didn't have another awful moment. So,
yeah.
All right. Next up for the World Tag Team Championships, you got the Hurt Syndicate. They hurt people, Paul.
They do.
Defending against Truth Magnum and Turbo Floyd, the Outrunner.
The Outrunners.
You son of a bitch.
I wanted to pick these guys so bad, just because I love the Outrunners so much. But there's no way the Hurt Syndicate's dropping the title to these guys. So I went Hurt Syndicate for 9.
Yep, me too. And if Shep doesn't, I will be shocked. It's the easiest pick on the card. I like the Outrunners.
So do I.
This needs to be a squash match. I'm sorry.
Yes.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, like that backstage segment, they ran up to MVP and the Hurt Syndicate, and they're like, do you see what we did out there? We did this and this. And MVP's like, oh, yeah, did you miss the part where we did this so you could do that?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not a squash match, it'll only go 5 minutes max.
Nah, they're setting up Hurt Syndicate versus Murder Machines coming soon. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, that's going to be a banger match right there.
Yep.
And I think that's one reason they didn't do it at Revolution, is because you have so many good matches already that you need one match for everybody to go to the bathroom, which will be Mercedes' match for me. But
oh, my God. For
you, you can go during the Hurt Syndicate Outrunners.
Yep. Yep. You're right. You're right. All right, up next, a Hollywood ending the Hollywood ending, I should say. Timeless Toni Storm defending her newly won AEW Women's title versus Mariah May. And, man, these ladies can just bring it on the mic. Their segments are so damn good.
And the thing is, Mariah's got that natural accent, and Toni's got her Australian accent, but leans more towards that British accent. These two just, they would be the most dominant women's tag team if they ever got on the same page like they used to be. Watching that promo last night, I'm like, are we sure that's not Toni on both sides? Because it was just that good. I felt bad for Renee being stuck in the middle of that, though.
Yeah. She did a good job, though. She reminded me of how JR. JR, say what you want about him, he's always been good at that backstage promo stuff.
Yeah, those sit-down promos are JR through and through. And I wonder if he's been working with her, because she's done some of those in the past that haven't been that good. But this one was really good. But I went the champs retaining on this one. Timeless Toni Storm for 7 points.
Great minds think alike, Paul. I went Timeless Toni Storm for 7 as well. And I'm getting nervous because we have not disagreed yet. And as far as who's going to win matches, and there's only two matches left.
Are we going to have to throw out a surprise bonus or something?
I don't know. We don't have the champ here. He's the one who needs to kind of voice his opinion here.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Hopefully women's matches cost him in the past, so maybe he'll go Momo and Mariah and he'll lose the title, and then we've got to figure out what happens at Dynasty when it's you and I for the vacant title because nobody won it.
Well, I was going to save this for the end of the show, and I'm going to have to repeat myself next week because, let's be honest, Shep's not going to watch this. I told you that I had a fun surprise for Dynasty, right?
Uh-oh.
Well, whoever's going in Dynasty's not defending against one guy, not defending against two guys, not defending against three guys, Let's get to Finnegan's four guys, because our buddies Pluggo and JPJ between two beards are joining us for the Dynasty predictions next month.
Yes, I love it when these guys are joining us. It is amazing. I love Between Two Beards. I love Pluggo, JPJ. They are great guys. Tanner doesn't like Pluggo because he's a I don't know why, but he really likes JPJ for some reason. So even though those two are polar opposites, but yeah, it is always a fun time when we've got the Between Two Beards guys on with us.
Yep, it's gonna be a good time. Like said, that's next month, Dynasty. But I hit them up yesterday. They both said, "Oh yeah, we're in." So looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. So always fun. We can do a collab with those guys.
Can't wait to see who's got to pay for the shipping to get this to JPJ.
Whoa. I have more confidence in KOP, Paul. My gosh. Wow. You got to remember who's the longest KOP predictions champion who held it for over a year here.
Oh, sorry. You were putting me to sleep there, Roman. Yeah, and I've held it more times than you.
So if we're honoring the lineage, yes, you have.
Ha.
All right. Next up for the international championship, we got Kenosuke Takeshita and Kenny Omega. Takeshita's already beat Kenny twice. Can Kenny
in a week
get the dub? In a week, can Kenny get the dub in his first pay-per-view match in a long, long time?
You know, I'm going to say I've got a feeling that you and I are going to agree on this one as well, because when we were talking about Brody Okada earlier, you said you had some thoughts that you'd give later on, and I think we have the same thoughts here as we're looking ahead to All in Texas. So I went Kenny Omega for four.
Yeah, Paul, I can't get anything by you. I went Kenny Omega, the best bout machine, for five. We're going to get Okada Omega at All In. They teased it right away when Kenny came back with the All In banner in the background. I really think at All In, Kenny goes in as the international champion. Okada goes in at the Continental. Title match to merge the belts together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got.
Please, for the love of God.
If we didn't have both the Continental and the International, the TNT title could be defended on here, and you'd have the same number of title defenses.
Yep.
And the only reason we don't have a trios title match is because, you know, Cope took everybody else out.
Except Yuta.
And no, he showed him respect.
He let him walk away.
Showed him respect.
You're coming to play on Sunday.
Although that's the only, I like it, but the only thing that frustrates me, it's the same damn storyline they did with Danielson. Danielson showed him respect, and that's why he had such a hard time turning on him.
Yep. Yep. Well, let's get right into what we believe it's going to be the main event. I'd be surprised if it's not. And it's for the World Heavyweight title. Jon Moxley against the Rated R Superstar, Cope.
I still can't get used to that. Cope.
Me neither. You want me to go first? I feel like you've been going first a lot, and I don't want to go.
I think I have. I think I've gone first every time. You're not the champion anymore, so I'm not going to accuse you.
Shep's
cheating because he's going to watch this back and then send in his predictions.
At least we're not live.
That is true.
All right. This one's a tough one because, I'll explain after I pick and you pick. But I am going Jon Moxley for two.
Ooh. This is the one that's going to screw me, I bet you, because I went Cope for eight.
Thank God, because I didn't want to tie. So, okay, I'm good. All right, you give your reasoning, I'll give my reasoning.
Because I think we've teased it too many times. This is going to be Cope wins it, and we've talked about this on the podcast numerous times.
Yeah.
Cope wins it. Mox is going to you know, be laying in the ring or whatever after getting a spear or 25. Cope wins it. He's standing there to celebrate. Christian music hits. He comes down. He's pointing to his contract. You know, I've got this. I'm the next world heavyweight champion. I'm doing it now. And about that time, he turns around into the paradigm shift. Christian gets in. 1, 2, 3. Cope holds the title for 5 minutes.
So it's the TNT all over again.
Yes.
Reset. Wouldn't shock me. Feud. Wouldn't shock me. And haven't seen Christian on TV in a while. And I think they're doing that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thing with that scenario is if Christian wins, Swerve's number one contender, that was the match of Double or Nothing last year. Would they run that back at Dynasty already so quick? I don't know.
Being number one contender, though, as we know with Tony Khan, he's terrible about putting number one contenders as the actual number one contenders.
Yeah, but with Swerve,
so
that's one of your big players. So the reason I went with Moxley, I think Jay White's going to screw Cope.
I wouldn't be surprised at that either, because
his promo weird, last night.
Yeah, it was weird out of the blue, you know. Right after Cope's run everybody else off from the Death Riders, Jay hasn't been doing anything with Bullet Club Gold.
Nope.
Or the Bang Bang Gang, or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, nothing.
The guns are back. We know that. Unless they're already injured again. But the guns are back.
No, they're back, I believe.
So he could be doing stuff with them instead of going with Cope. So, yeah, oh, man, now I'm going to hate myself for this because Moxley's going to win this thing. Christian's not going to cash in.
Well, what could also happen? You could be right here too, Paul, and with Jay White getting involved. And Utica get involved. You know, I think that could happen too. Utica get involved. So there's a lot of avenues they could go here. But I could also see the scenario which you hit the nail on the head. I could see Cope winning. Jay White turns on Cope, hits him with a Blade Runner, then Christian catches him.
Okay.
You set up Jay White Cope feud. So
before you get to the Cope Christian feud.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it needs to happen, and it needs to happen on a longer term. You know, Cope got injured in the middle of that feud, so it just kind of fizzled out. And maybe this is just the fanboy in me talking. I'd like to see those two end up on the same side
for a
tag title run.
And I'd like to see Cope have a little title run one more time. Main title, well, not the TNT, but but I just think, and I think it would be a great move for Tony to pivot. Like our loyal viewer, Majin, always says pivot. But I just don't think he's going to do it. And I'm sticking to my guns that Darby is going to be the guy when he returns to take it off Moxley. I'm just sticking to my guns.
Oh. Well, I guess we'll have to find out what happens Sunday, March 9th, when the title comes back to me.
It might come down to that main event. And we don't know what our championship's going to pick. But
Yeah. I mean, if he agrees completely with you, he retains.
Yeah, no doubt. Champion's advantage.
If he agrees with me, he retains. So he's got to disagree with more than just the main event.
Unless he was trying to swerve me, I think there is a match that we agreed that he will disagree. Based on his comments last week, and once again, I'm guessing he's not going to watch this or listen to this. I think he's going to pick Kyle Fletcher based on his comments last week when we were talking about that feud. So
okay. Let's
could
hope.
Be wrong. Yeah, could be wrong.
Let's hope you're texting me and saying, hey, he picked Fletcher.
Yep. So, but looking forward to Revolution. I'm going to pose this question to you. I did the Shep on Sunday, and I'm sure you heard it or saw the short about it. If I made a short, I don't even know if I made a short about it. Might not. I threw up a poll, though, on X, and I asked on Blue Sky, which if you're not following Kicking Out Podcast on all podcast Pod, jeez, on all social media platforms. Please do so at Kicking Out Pod, and also follow us and like us wherever you listen to your podcast. That
And leave us that 5-star review if it's Apple Podcast. Oh, sorry, yes, we're not to that part yet.
And Spotify. Do you prefer Saturday or Sunday pay-per-views/PLEs?
Okay, so this is where it gets interesting for me. Normally, I would say Sunday because that's what I grew up with.
Right.
But I enjoyed the Elimination Chamber being on Saturday night because I didn't tune in right away. I mean, it was 9 o'clock before I even thought of turning it on, and I could only go back an hour. So I had to wait for The Rock to get done with his 45-minute spiel in the post show or however long it was.
No. It was Dwayne. It wasn't The Rock. It was Dwayne because he's out of
character. Oh, okay. Okay.
Drives me nuts. Drives me nuts how wishy-washy he does that stuff.
Yeah. He's the board member there. That's why.
He's a director even though, of the board, yeah.
Even though Triple H walks out there as Triple H, even though they announce him as Paul Triple H Levesque now or whatever.
He walks out as The Game.
Yeah. And he's here to talk like this for 45 minutes.
Yeah, he's not Paul who talks and, we have the biggest gate. I want to thank Nick Khan and the city of Toronto. And we have the biggest gate because we keep increasing our prices and everybody just keeps buying the tickets. So we're just going to keep increasing the prices.
Well, at least he didn't go out there and go, "Hey, pal, you're fired."
That's because,
you know, he did nail that impression when he was part of DX.
It's true.
Which is all I was doing was an impression of Triple H doing an impression, just so we're on the same page there.
But what I'm hearing, you like Saturday.
I did like Saturday because I ended up not watching all of it from start to finish Saturday night. So I was able to catch up on it on Sunday. And it doesn't interfere with podcasting.
That's true.
I mean, if Revolution would have been Saturday, we still would have been doing a predictions show probably today.
Yeah.
But, you know, Sunday we could come in and, hey, here we go. Here's our thoughts on last night's Revolution. Now we got to wait for a whole week.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, I think Shep was surprised when I said Sunday because I'm the only member of the podcast that doesn't have kids. But, you know, my wife and I, kids yet. Hopefully yet. Hopefully someday.
Yeah, your mom's going to start blowing your phone up about that soon if you don't.
It started a long time ago. Anyways.
Hit that 2-year mark. It's going to be, well, I don't have any yet.
Getting there. But, like, I don't know, the wife and I usually, we like to do something on Saturday night, go out to dinner or something. So it's easier for her to ask her to watch a pay-per-view or PLE on Sunday night than it is Saturday. But she's usually pretty good about it. For somebody who doesn't really like wrestling, she's usually pretty good about letting me watch. So,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just tell her you'll do the dishes for her.
Yeah, I'm usually pretty good about doing the dishes. So yeah.
That works.
Yeah, I like
I'll
that.
Do the dishes.
Like that.
I'll run the vacuum cleaner. I'll fold the laundry.
Do the laundry. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it helps out a lot.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So, Paul, you got anything else before we wrap this bad boy up?
No, I don't think I do. Looking forward to Revolution as always. It's going to be the best pay per view of 2025 so far.
Oh, yeah,
so
oh, okay,
far.
Okay. Yeah,
so far.
Good call.
I mean. Yep. There's only been what three other pay-per-views to this point?
Rumble and Elimination Chamber.
So two. So yeah. At least nobody's kicking anybody in the balls. Well, after a hug, how about that?
I loved it. I saw it coming. I loved it as a Cody fan. Even man. I loved it. It's great. I'm so intrigued. I'm so invested.
I feel bad for Cody though, just because of actually getting legit injured from Travis Scott.
Well, that dumbass. I don't understand why I get he's a huge pop culture guy right now, but I just, it was weird. It was, I thought he would go to the ring with The Rock and then just stay out. But no, he gets involved. He's the new Rodman of the NWO.
And I don't think he was supposed to, or totally screwed it up, because like, I went back and watched it a couple different times because I knew that slap wasn't.
He busts his eardrum.
Yep. That was too hard to have been.
I think he was supposed to lay it in, but I think he wasn't supposed to hit him in the ear.
Yeah.
So
that's what happens when, you know, you're lighting up a joint in the middle of the ring while it's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude was so stoned. I think he forgot. I think he was supposed to lift Cody's head up and smack him there.
I was afraid he was going to hurt Cody's arm when he was pulling him forward.
I thought
he was yanking out of socket.
Yeah, I know. But the way Cena pushed Cody back down.
Yeah.
It was like, I feel like Travis was supposed to lift the head up, smack, and that be where the head dropped.
But probably right.
Instead, Cena's like, fine, I'll try to hold in half an STFU and push him down.
Probably right. But yeah, we won't have to worry about any Travis Scott moments AEW on Sunday.
Thank God. So, we'll have to worry about him if we watch WrestleMania, though, since, you know, it's his song that they're using for the theme.
Correct. So, all right, Paul. Well, it's been fun doing our first pay-per-view prediction show of 2025. And good luck to you.
Good luck to our champion,
Shep, who couldn't join us. And everybody will have to tune in next Sunday to see who the champ is. Well, if they follow us on social media, once again, at Kicking Out Pod, they'll know. But,
I guess I should go ahead and wrap this thing, shouldn't I?
Let's do it.
On behalf of our head of the table, Austin Shepherd, who's on an island somewhere trying to figure out how to do the dance that, you know, the Usos used to do coming to the ring and trying to get himself a necklace like Roman wears, because I cannot pronounce what that thing's actually
Ula
called.
Ulafala, I think.
Sure. He's trying to get one of them to bring it to KOP. But be sure to follow us on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Be sure to listen to us wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Now I'm trying to get it all mixed up. Thanks, Tanner. And if it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leave us those 5-star reviews, because we are 5-star KOP. Check
out. That really helps us. I can't express that enough. It's free. It takes just a couple seconds. It really helps us in the rankings amongst other pro wrestling and AEW podcasts in an algorithm and everything. So please go give us that 5-star rating and a review if you want to do so.
Yeah. And, you know, the nice thing about this is we're one of those that has stayed free to everybody, wherever it is, whether it's YouTube.
Hopefully we can continue that, but fees for everything start going up. So
yeah, which is why we need you to leave us those 5-star reviews. That helps us, and then we can get monetized other ways and not have to charge you to listen to our podcast. So be sure to leave us those 5-star reviews. Check out kickingoutshop.com. It's your place to go. If you do want to spend some money for KOP, you can go get some great merchandise, support a podcast, and look fantastic doing so. Be sure to follow our champion on all social media at TheShep27. He's going down, as the title will be coming back to me, but that's neither here nor there. Be sure to follow Tanner Lee at TannerLee92 and follow myself at PaulZartman87. And with that, for Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zartman. Join us again next week at our regularly scheduled time as we kick out yet another podcast.